This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Doug Lawson. Doug is the CEO of the St. Luke's Health System, and he's the Senior Vice President at Common Spirit Health. Common Spirit Health is the largest faith-based not-for-profit health system in the country, and maybe in the world for all I know, a huge and great system. Doug, Dr. Lawson, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes, Scott, thank you so much for inviting me to participate on your podcast today. It's truly a pleasure to be here. Yes, again, my name is Doug Lawson. I'm the CEO of St. Luke's Health System in Houston, Texas. Also have the privilege of serving as Senior Vice President for Common Spirit Health. Again, just excited to be here today, Scott, and I'm happy to talk about any number of different things, but want to make be respectful of your time and the time of your listeners.
Doug?
Yes.
Take a moment and talk about your leadership career, your leadership journey, how you ended up as CEO of St. Luke's and as the Senior Vice President of Common Spirit.
Yeah. I'm from a small town on the panhandle of Texas, a little town called Tahoka. My family are farmers for several generations back. But I managed to find my way to Texas A&M University with a degree in political science, but spent my formative days actually washing dishes at the Student Health Center and learning a little bit about the career that's known as healthcare administration. Found my way to Trinity University and ultimately have a PhD in leadership development from Dallas Baptist University. I started my career at Scott & White, one of the nation's leaders as an integrated healthcare system, learned the importance of an integrated medical record, the importance of managing care effectively and efficiently. During my time at Scott & White, each of us have our own unique experiences with healthcare. They tend to form our perspectives of our system and shape how we manage and lead in our system. And for me personally, that included being diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's disease when I was 25, and spent a year inside of Scott & White being treating for that cancer. That was an incredibly impactful, incredibly important part of my learning, my experiences as a healthcare administrator, and shaped my philosophy around leadership and healthcare delivery to this day. I spent a brief amount of time following that running cancer centers, but ultimately moved into a chief operating officer at Cabell Huntington Hospital in West Virginia. West Virginia is a beautiful place with really good people, challenged economically, but some of the best people I've worked with. But ultimately had a chance to come back to Texas and be part of the then Baylor Health System, running a small hospital in Grapevine, Texas. During my time with Baylor, I was able to move into other broader leadership roles, including serving as the president for Baylor University Medical Center and being a part of the merger of Baylor and Scott & White. It was important to learn how cultures come together, how people with varying perspectives all working hard to do the right thing for patients and communities can come together, learn from each other, and create a system of care that's even stronger. It's very much a privilege to serve with that organization. But then had the opportunity to serve the ministry with Catholic Health Initiatives, their presence in Houston with Baylor St. Luke's Medical Center and the 16 hospitals that represent St. Luke's Health System serving Houston and the surrounding communities. But then shortly thereafter had the opportunity to be a part of another merger as Catholic Health Initiatives and Dignity Health came together to form Common Spirit. Again, an important opportunity to see two organizations passionate about community, passionate about the ministry of healthcare come together in a way to leverage that insight, leverage that experience, leverage that expertise in a way that benefits Houston and the community that we are called to serve. So it's been an exciting, impactful journey, and not the least of which is those of us involved in healthcare have seen the impact of the pandemic and how that has shaped our thinking about the delivery of healthcare and ultimately what's how can we come together as a community of caregivers to serve the people who need us the most. It's been a real privilege to be in Houston and work with Texas Medical Center and the collection of exceptional leaders we have here in Houston who compete directly, but also have shown our ability to collaborate effectively over these past few months as well. So that's probably more than you were asking, Scott, but hopefully that gives you a general sense of how I got here.
But it's really a fascinating journey. I mean, including your fight with cancer and the perspective that must give you. Talk about St. Luke's today and just a few points of pride in the health system that you run.
You know, St. Luke's is an amazing organization, a long legacy of excellence in heart care, a long legacy of excellence in serving the Texas Medical Center. And its recent affiliation with Baylor College of Medicine, one of the top medical schools in the United States. And very proud of the affiliation we have with Baylor College of Medicine, very proud of the work that we're doing to leverage the academic and research work that's happening inside of Baylor College of Medicine and leveraging that in ways that allow us to translate that into more effective care for our patients. I'm very proud of the recovery that Baylor St. Luke's has made over the last last 18 months or so. They had the opportunity to significantly improve in a number of ways. They looked themselves squarely in the mirror and went about that work. And very proud to see where they're at today. It is an amazing organization and continues to grow in stature and reputation over these past months. So very, very excited about that. Very excited about the work we're doing in North Houston with our Woodlands facility, growing heart program, growing our oncology services for that market. We have our relationship with Texas A&M University and Bryan College Station, the St. Joseph Health System, is part of our family, and proud of the work they're doing and in serving the Aggies and Bryan College Station. So exciting to see that as well.
And Dr. Ross, let me ask you a question. St. Luke's, you reminded me, one of the great cardiovascular heart programs in the country. The home of Dr. DeBakey at one time, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly or not, but one of the great, great initial heart transplant surgeons, one of the leading experts in the world, and St. Luke's has built this magnificent heart program. Talk for a moment, not so much about the heart program, but about the changing world of healthcare, where at one point there was a star doctor that really helped build a program, and there still are. But at the same time, things are far more institutional today, too. So it's not so much the one doctor, but can be a pioneer and brilliant in driving a program, but it's also about systems and institutions today. Talk for a moment about that evolution over the couple decades that you've been leading and what you've seen.
Yeah, it's a great, great question. Great and important insight for all of us. Healthcare is continually evolving. And one of the core strengths that I believe you must develop as a leader is change management, the ability to change. And it's the ability to lead change that's becoming more and more a core skill for any healthcare leader. Our physicians, our nurses are often thrust into leadership roles, and we expect our nurses and our doctors to be very disciplined in how they practice, but their practice is changing, and change is not easy for any of us. the historic model of us, of the exceptional surgeon, the exceptional physician who developed a program that's centered in concrete and technology is evolving. And technology allows us to project that expertise through across multiple hospitals, multiple clinics. Technology is moving us away from a pure bricks and mortar strategy to a virtual strategy. Heart care is, in particular, is one in which we've seen a pretty rapid evolution of clinical practice. Surgical procedures that historically were done only in a single handful of sites are now being done commonly in smaller facilities. The technology is there to allow that, and the training of our staff allows us to manage that effectively and efficiently. But we're also seeing, that's a change for our historic leadership model, where we centered a program around a single person at a single location. Now we're asking our clinical leaders to think about developing programs that span multiple facilities, and to think differently about their own clinical practice, which is a real challenge for those of us who've been in the industry for a period of time. We've had to change our construct, change our way of thinking about this, and that's difficult when you've excelled in doing a specific procedure a specific way for an extended period of time. But as we've all seen, and I'll tell you, all of us that run health systems and hospitals have seen the pandemic accelerate the use of virtual technology to project care back out in the community in ways that we really weren't sure was going to work. But in fact, we've seen it be very successful. And so now we have to go back and revisit our staff, our teams, and work to continue to build on that experience in a way that brings new value to patients, new values to the employers who are often paying for the care that we're providing, and better serve the community. And I think I'm pretty excited about where we're headed with this and the opportunities to deliver better care in new ways.
And take a moment, when you look, Dr. Loss, at the next 6 to 12 months, obviously we've got to fight through this COVID pandemic and take care of your staff, your team, your entire ecosystem. But what do you look at as your big priorities the next 6 to 12 months?
It's another good question, Scott. The thing that we're all preparing for right now is the third wave, if you will, and making sure that we have our staff prepared. All of us are tired of wearing masks. We're tired of not being able to go out and have a meal with our friends. We're all tired of not seeing somebody's face. We're tired of trying to connect physically with our friends and our colleagues. So the next 6 months is an important time to not let up. We've got to continue the discipline around masking. We've got to continue the discipline around social distancing. And as we prepare for another surge right now, we're having to revisit our patient visitation policies. And to me, you know, I personally have spent years trying to create more patient-friendly environments for the patients and families that trust us for their care. And that means having a caregiver with you. That means having a caregiver in the room, if you want it, 24 hours a day. It means having a caregiver there with you that can help you understand and interpret the very often technical background of your diagnosis. And now because we want to keep our staff safe, we want to keep our patients safe, we're limiting visitors in our hospitals, and that to me is one of our big challenges. It's one of the important things that we will have to do in order to continue to provide the care that we must provide but it's just not in the environment, the framework in which any of us would prefer. But it's one of the big challenges we have coming up. As you look 12 months out, we have we're hopefully to the other side of this. We're beginning to then to think about how do we administer a vaccine to thousands of people. How do we move past the politicization of a vaccine of this COVID crisis and move people to understand facts and science? And we'll spend a lot of time helping reinforce that. Now that's a little easier for us in healthcare than it is for some of the other industries, but it is.
Are you ever?
It's a real issue for us.
Are you ever shocked at how much the vaccine has become such a political issue, or is just sort of the new normal in life that we live in at the moment?
I was, and my colleagues here at TMC were shocked that the mask became a political issue. It's less of an issue today, and I expect with the vaccine we'll see a similar dynamic. We'll see some early movement, but I expect very quickly we'll be able to communicate effectively the importance of receiving a vaccine and getting back to work.
Right, that people will relatively quickly, it'll take a while, but people will relatively quickly start to get comfortable. The vaccine is safe. This is where we're moving to. We're going to do it. It's no longer a President Trump or President Biden thing. It's being approved by a relatively unbiased FDA that has our best interests at heart.
That's my expectation. I think our scientists, our physicians, our technical leaders in this space are doing a fantastic job. This was a situation that was unheralded. We had no information about it. And to our experts across the United States, as they got more information, they were not afraid to evolve their thinking as new data became available. And that's difficult for the lay community to understand sometimes. But as our understanding of the disease, understanding of the virus and the treatment process, the data that the information we were able to provide to the community became more accurate, more complete, and it evolved. And I really credit our scientists, our technical leaders across the United States for being fearless in their ability to refine the message over a period of time.
And to fight through the noise from every side and try and just get to better and better answers. And it's been kind of a war to do so, but a magnificent work by our nation's healthcare leaders, our nation's scientists, so many people. Dr. Lawson, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's an amazing life and career story. It's remarkable work that's done at St. Luke's, and we appreciate you joining us so much in the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Scott, thank you again. It's a pleasure to be here. Wish you the best, and if you ever find yourself in Houston, please look me up.
Can't wait. Thank you very, very much, Doctor.
All right. Thank you, Scott.